And we're thankful to have the opportunity to close this special day by opening up the Scriptures. I invite your attention to Psalm 56. Even as we considered it this morning, I will just do a quick review and kind of wrap it up. I know that after lunch, at least if you're like me, after lunch, your favorite activity is to be horizontal, right? And to close your eyes and take a nap. At least that's me, and Nance will tell you that. I don't think there's many things in life I enjoy as much as taking a nap. I've heard people say we're not going to have to sleep in heaven. I'm not sure I believe that, because it says it's a place of joy, and I think it's a joyful thing to take a nap. So I'm very aware, especially after a nice meal, that we've all enjoyed, it might be just a little bit challenging. And so we'll be brief, but I hope that if you, by God's grace, would just join me and praying that the Lord will help you to pay attention, help me to be clear and concise, and that we can honor the Lord in our time together. We are continuing this theme of trust in the Lord that is really founded in that verse that we all love, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And that's what we all need to constantly be reminded to do, right? When the trials come, that we would say, no matter how I feel, even though I don't feel like things are going well, and I feel like I'm being attacked, and life is very, very difficult, that we would say, in God we trust, and that it would be more than a general item, something that we would find on our paper currency or even on a penny, but that in God we trust would be something that I choose to believe, that I would preach this to myself when I go through challenging times. And so today we have, for our afternoon, I just called the title, In God We Trust, God I Trust, Part 2. Father, we thank you that we can trust you. We thank you that we can bring our cares and concerns and our emotional challenges to you. And we thank you, Lord, that we can open up your word this afternoon to be reminded of exactly what David did, that it would be a pattern for all of us, Lord. You have been faithful, Lord, to us individually. You've been faithful to us as a church family these 41 years. And we pray even as we would look again at this psalm for a brief period of time, that you would use it to work in our hearts. Well, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning we considered these first four verses, that people may oppress me, but I will trust God. I'll read verses 1 through 4 of Psalm 56. Be gracious to me, O God, for man is trampled upon me, fighting all day long he oppresses me. My foes have trampled upon me all day long, for they are many who fight proudly against me. And then David affirms this truth, verse 3 and 4. For when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? And then we saw, again, kind of a second time through in verses 5 through 11, that people may oppress me, but I will trust in God, beginning at verse 5. All day long they distort my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They attack, they lurk, they watch my steps as they have waited to take my life. Because of wickedness, cast them forth in anger. Put down the peoples, O God. And then after affirming how he felt, he then preaches these truths to himself, beginning in verse 8. You have taken account of my wanderings and put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Now, why do we have this psalm? Well, I do think we have a wonderful pattern here of how to deal with the trials and the challenges we face, to honestly express them to God, but then with equal measure to respond by affirming truths about God, of preaching the gospel to ourselves. I think that's certainly one reason why we have the psalm. And I think we were reminded of that even by Romans 8, 31 to 32. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for all of us, for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?
to be reminded of the fact that the God who saved us from eternal damnation is a God who delivers us in this life as well. Now, question, why do we have this psalm? Well, I think it's more than just providing a pattern. I think what we see in these last two verses, as I express how I feel to the Lord and then basically preach the truth back to myself, and then round two, express how I feel to the Lord and then preach these wonderful truths again to myself, being confident that God provides for me, and He does, then the outcome of this is God is praised. And that's our third point from this wonderful psalm, Psalm 56. Point number one was people may oppress me, but I will trust God. Our second point, people may oppose me, but I will trust God. Our third point in these final two verses, praise to the God who helps me. Notice verse 12, your vows are binding upon me, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. You say, what do we see here? We must give thanks to God. Now, verse 12 says, your vows, that, remember, we're in Hebrew poetry, it's parallel. The vows, first part of verse 12, are parallel with the thank offering, second part of verse 12. So it would seem that what the author David is saying, Lord, I told you, if you come through with me and help you, I will praise you. That's the vow. And so because of that, David says, I will render thank offerings. And that possibly is a physical sacrifice, Old Testament economy. It also could be praise, because it says in the scripture that praise is an offering to the Lord. Either way, we must remember to give thanks to God. And I know I'm certainly guilty of this. It's certainly true in my life. Something will happen. It could be something as mundane as my truck doesn't start, or there's a challenge at home with something mechanical. And I pray, oh, Lord, help me. And then the Lord helps me, and it's fixed. And I don't always go back and say, Lord, you helped me. Thank you. I want to, but I forget to. And the psalmist is saying, Lord, I'm not going to forget. I told you I would give thanks, and that's what I'm going to do. I don't do this nearly enough, but sometimes I'll be sitting at home. Sometimes I'll be lying in bed at night. I found this is a good thing to do when I wake up in the middle of the night, which isn't often. Sometimes just whatever, even just driving down the road, I start specifically giving thanks to the Lord for all that He's done in my life. And for me to even give you a glimpse of that would just elongate the service way too much. But I thank the Lord for saving my mom, who was the first one in our family who came to Christ. And then I thank the Lord that I went to the university I went to. And I thank the Lord, not because of football or anything stupid like that, but for seriously, that there was somebody who would be saved, who would be on the floor where I lived. And I thank the Lord for that gentleman, Kevin. And I thank the Lord for the Bible study he started. And I thank the Lord for the man who led that Bible study. And then I thank the Lord that after I came to Christ, there was a church in Dublin, Ohio, where there was a pastor and an assistant pastor who reached out to me and encouraged me greatly. And I thank the Lord that there was a brother up in Cleveland, 3 hours north, that led a Bible study. And I thank the Lord that the man who led that Bible study was friends with another man who worked with my mom. And I thank the Lord that I had a mom who said, okay, Greg, you're saved, right? You said, Nancy, and you're going to go to that Bible study. And even though I was hesitant, you know, this thing was still a little bit new to me, that we went. And then this man led a wonderful Bible study. We started going to his Sunday school class, Bible study class. And I just go one after another, specific people that God has used in my life to minister grace to me. And it's just a wonderful thing. And as I work through this list, all of the people, even some people that never did anything great, but there were people that I've met through the years in church who I could just tell they went out of their way to greet me and say, Greg, how are you doing? You know, and when you're first saved, that means a lot. Something as simple as, do you have any prayer requests? And yeah, you know, whatever, I don't know, whatever, a geometry test or something. And to have somebody say, yes, I'll pray for you. And the point I'm trying to make is when I go through my life that way and think of all of the things I have to be thankful for, one, it honors the Lord, but secondly, it's also good medicine for me. because the challenges that I'm facing don't seem nearly as bad. The psalmist is saying in verse 12, we must give thanks to God. Why? Because verse 13, God has delivered us. Notice verse 13. For you, talking to the Lord, for you've delivered my soul from death and indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living. What is David saying? Saul's on my case. I don't even have a country to call home. The Philistines are against me. And here I show up, right, with Goliath's sword. But Lord, I know you'll deliver me. And as he thinks about it, yes, Lord, you have delivered me. And as we mentioned in the morning message, David realized, he found that God was faithful to him and God cared for him. And so we think of what? That God will deliver our souls from death. And even if that doesn't include physical death, it certainly includes spiritual death. And he keeps our feet from stumbling. And he makes sure that there is going to be a time where we will walk before him. Now remember, this doesn't mean that God promises us no trials. In this world, we face trials. But we can still be confident that they all have to be granted permission before they can come our way. And the one who has to give every trial permission before I encounter it is my Father, who loves me and he cares for me. And thus, when he does show himself faithful, what do? I give thanks to him because I find that he's a God who answers prayer, that he is a God who delivers his people. That's the kind of God we serve, a faithful God. He's been faithful to the Trinity Bible Church family for 41 years. He's been faithful to me personally for a little bit over 30 years. I think about all of the times that I have failed God, but I can't think of one time that God has failed me. God is a faithful God. David, even though he went through trials, he affirmed it to be true. And by his grace, you too will affirm it to be true. I'd like to end our service this afternoon by speaking out loud, by saying together as a responsive reading, a portion of Psalm 116 that I have on the screen. It's from a New American Standard, if that's the translation you have. And I thought we would just simply read it out loud together as a testimony that this is what I believe. And you might be thinking, Greg, I don't really feel this because I'm going through something in life that's really hard. Well, remember, even if you feel that way, bring those feelings to the Lord, express those, but make sure those are countered with affirmations of truth. And that's what I hope we can do together as we would read together from Psalm 116, beginning, if you would read with me, beginning at verse 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And there is coming a day where that will be true for all of God's children. We will be walking in his presence in the land of the living. And until that day comes, even as we encounter trials, we need to keep our focus on the Lord and trust in him. That's the conclusion. Praise the Lord who helps us. For 41 years, the Lord has helped us to exalt Christ, encourage those who know Christ, and evangelize those who need Christ. That's our church mission statement. We praise the Lord for helping us for 41 years. And all God's people said, Amen.